You're listening to the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast, where we bring our authentic selves, refuse to raise grown folks, and share wisdom you can use. With your host, Charles K. Poole.
Good morning and welcome to the podcast. Some of you may know that real estate is a hobby of mine, so much so that I even considered becoming a broker or an agent for a while. And after moving around and owning 14 homes, I still like the process of looking at and for real estate. So today, I'm using this opportunity to talk about real estate. There's so much confusion about it now that the market is so hard to break into, as well as what it takes to guide prospective owners through the buying process. It's more than just transactional, by the way. I mean, buying a home is the biggest purchase most people will ever make. And for most folks, it is still the foundation on which generational wealth is built. It takes a special person with personal gifts and abundant faith to steer nervous buyers and sellers through it all, which is why today's guest is here. Let me tell you a little bit about her. Casey Milton is a highly energetic real estate broker with a determined attitude and credentials to match. In fact, she represented the buyer when I sold my last home here in 2019, and I was so impressed by her demeanor, approach, and skill that I stayed in touch with her and even became connected on social media. Her confident disposition and negotiating and multitasking skills can be attributed to her enthusiasm for real estate, love of people, and a toolbox of skills that have made her both a mogul in the making, a trusted advisor to buyers and sellers of homes, as well as recognized throughout the industry. In Casey's 6 years as a realtor, she has assisted more than 200 families purchase and sell or invest in real estate. Casey is known for her thorough communication and ability to produce successful results. Lovingly and accurately known as the go-getter realtor, she is consistently ranked among the top agents with her brokerage and the real estate industry throughout St. Louis and, increasingly, in Illinois. Casey has proven herself to be an effective and accomplished realtor, which is why today we're going to get the real on real estate from Casey and journey into an even broader discussion about how her faith and love of family influences her work and inspires her success. It's going to be good. So let's get into it. Hey, Casey. Welcome.
Hey, Charles. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, you know, I've been thinking about real estate a lot lately. It's an avocation of mine.
It's in your posts.
Watch. Yeah. I'm always looking at real estate. I can't help myself. I love it. And when I was thinking about it, I kept thinking, maybe if I could have someone on who could talk about what the market's like,
sure,
but also talk about why they became interested in real estate,
sure,
and how things are today versus that time. So, Casey, I've introduced you as the go-getter
realtor. That's who I am.
Tell me a little bit about why you got into real estate or how, and what earned you that very deserved title.
Oh gosh, that title is so funny because all of my titles, the Miltonaire, the go-getter, mm-hmm, has come from other people observing me saying, you know what, this is who you are. And I'm like, that works for me. So I've been in real estate for 6 years now. I'm a real estate broker. I'm licensed in Missouri and Illinois. And I got in the business, honestly, because I felt like no job could pay me what I was worth. So it was one of those things where I graduated from college. I thought I'd be making this much. I was not, I don't feel like living up to my potential. So I said, let me take matters into my own hand. One thing I love is real estate. And one thing I do well is speak. So between those two, I said, I could do this. And it skyrocketed off in 2017, 2018. And I've just been going ever since. So.
And when you decided what your worth was, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
Because as you know, a lot of people always wait for someone else to tell them what they're worth. You didn't do that.
No.
That's a huge difference between how you're looking at the world and most people.
Yeah.
Have you always just been that way, or did something specific happen that made you say, you know, from a younger age even, before the college experience, you know, I'm always going to make sure that I work for what I feel I'm worth?
You know, I can't say it was anything in particular. I just felt like at the time I had a family, you know, I was working in the nonprofit sector, and I was the Olivia Pope, so to speak, in my position. I was managing five different departments, and I was not getting paid what I felt like was necessary. Mm-hmm. So it's funny because I would be the person literally going up to my supervisor, I need to get paid more. Mm-hmm. And I've been always very verbal about what I feel like I should be compensated for because of how hard I work. And so after so many of those conversations, it just really dawned on me that I need to be my own entrepreneur. Son, one of my good friends, way back when, gosh, I want to say 2015, I spoke with her, Angela Brown. She's here in St. Louis. She manages all of like Live Nation things. She said to me, Casey, you have no business working for someone else. That was so profound to me. I think it was like 2014 when she said it, and it just stuck with me. And she was right. Like, I was built and made to be an entrepreneur. And so really kind of chiming that in 2017, I just said, let me just go for it. So it was no holds bar. Like, I was very verbal and communicative about what I wanted to do. And I wanted to make an impression in the real estate industry because I felt like that would, my skills would be better suited there.
Was there fear?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the weirdest thing. That's the weirdest thing. Like, a lot of people will ask me, like, are you fearful? I'm the kind of person where I just, I'm a doer. Have you ever heard of the DISC model? So I'm a high D, high I. So I'm very dominant and influential. And when I set my mind towards something, I literally do it. So it was no looking back. And since then, it's funny because that particular place that I was working, I think I got like three other people to quit. But not in the sense of just be quitting, but going after your dream and passion. If it's not your dream and passion to work a 9-to-5 and do all this, be kind of confined by this box, so to speak, then just do it. Just do it. And I've never, I'm a person who will start something and then if it's not working, I'll pivot real quick and I don't have any remorse about it.
What do you have to say to people who are always using the excuse though about how scary it is? Because you had a family, as you're mentioning. And I know that in my instance, when I tell people, because I've quit lots of jobs, Lord knows, I've left more jobs.
What, Charles, really?
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you can't imagine, right? But, you know, and they'll say to me, well, you know, you're different. You know, you don't have this and you don't have a family. I was like, but if you are someone who has another spouse who's at least earning income, you have that to fall back on. When I leave, ain't nobody else giving me any money. I don't have anyone else to look at. So I don't really buy that as it relates to my life as well. But how do you respond to people who are always then going to be looking at whatever they choose to do as a limited opportunity based on what their responsibilities are?
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten that quite a bit over the years. Like, well, you have a husband to fall upon, and we've been married for 22 years. But listen, times were hard. You know, my husband's a, he was a carpenter. So if anyone knows anything about that profession, work was here and there, you know. And gosh, I just, you know, this, I willingly tell this story about how I got into real estate because it's so, it's deep. Like, my husband sold a truck to for us to pay for me to go to real estate school.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So we never really had all the money and we were robbing Peter to pay Paul. We was living comfortably, but at the same time we were living paycheck to paycheck. And I just said no more. So at that point, I just, I didn't care about, I mean, I'd already lit, you know, we were down here and I knew I wanted to be up here. So with that, I just, you know, you just, you work what you have and you do what you can do and you go from there. Like, you're either going to complain in your situation or you're going to change it. So that's the kind of people that I tend to gravitate, gravitate to. Like the people who are kind of the in between. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Just do it. This life is short. We don't have a lot of time on this earth. Just do something and just see how it goes. If it doesn't work, hey, you tried it. Let's try something else.
Casey up here preaching, y'all. She's telling the whole truth about these
just
things.
Just do it. I'm gonna just push. I'm gonna just push you. In the water, I'm gonna just push you.
Right. Well, you know, not that there's anything wrong with commerce and with capitalism.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Right. There's nothing wrong with it. But I think that there's an opportunity for it to be practiced compassionately as well. What you've just gotten through speaking about speaks to an abundant faith, I believe.
Yes.
And most people don't reconcile real estate with faith, but obviously faith plays a huge role
in that
for you.
Part.
Speak to me about how you reconcile it in your own existence, because what I can say, and then I'll let you respond here, is when you're talking about your clients and the things that they're trying to do and the importance of creating a home for them, it's not just about a commission. It's about the connection that you have with them. And I think that you also impart to them a sense of hope and promise through your own example. So speak to me about faith and speak to me about how that plays out in how you interact with your clients, whether they're buying or selling or investing.
Yeah. Well, I knew imparting on this particular journey, God had to lead it. And so our prayer was always like, if this is your will, Lord, just let me flourish, you know, and let me make sure to keep the center of it as helping your people. The work that I was doing when I was in the nonprofit sector was at a church, and I was in an influential type of situation. And so people knew me, comfortable with me. I've always associated and, communicated with anyone, no matter their financial background, whether they don't have money or they have a lot of money. You know, I like to say this is it's bad because the word I think says it's bad, but I'm a schmoozer. I can mix and mingle with anyone. That's all that means. And so with that said, I just feel like God has really routed me to all the people that I need to help. And my stance when I'm working with my clients is if this is the Lord's will, it will happen. If it's not, he will stop it. And there's been so many situations, I was just telling someone yesterday, where he's really stopped it. And it's been the most bizarre type of way. And when it's unexplainable like that, that's God. Now, when you've seen no hope and I help you see that hope, and it happens and you're still like, how did this happen? That's God. So it's so important for me to keep God in the center of all that I do, whether I'm working with someone who's a believer or not, because truthfully, like, we can't do anything in this world. We can't breathe without God's doing. So with that being said, he's the center of my business. And even when deals fall apart, because deals fall apart, Lord, okay, this didn't, this wasn't meant to be. I don't chime. I don't, you know, hinder over him and haul over it. I just keep it rolling and say, Lord, on to the next. So I really do feel, and a lot of people have asked me, what are you drinking? What is this?
What are you having?
Kool-Aid? I said, there ain't nothing but God. And I literally, I'm the pillar of giving him all the praise and glory, because this is nothing of my own doing. Charles, when I tell you, and this, I think this kind of rubs a lot of realtors the wrong way, I don't do any marketing. I don't do any soliciting. All of my business has come from word of mouth of people who refer my business or who see the stories and testimonies online. That is a blessing within itself. And people are like, that's silly. I'm paying thousands of dollars for leads. I'm sorry. This is just how the Lord ordained it for, you know, in this moment. So, he's the pillar.
You know, I tell people all the time, because we get really wrapped up in what we consider when things are supposed to happen in our lives. And we have this real focus up on what we think is the appointed time for everything. You're supposed to do this by this age or this by that age and so on and so forth. But what we know is that for each of us, unless we're standing in the way of it, God has an anointed time for everything to happen. And if you get out of your own freaking way, all of that flourishing that you're talking about is possible. So I love that you're speaking about the fact that other people want to know what you're having.
Like,
it's like, all you got to do is let go.
Let go. Let God.
That's
That is a, such a simple concept. And I'm not like huge churchy. It's funny because I tell people I'm the most unchurchiest church person know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not a Bible thumper. Like, I'm not going to always be quoting scripture, but I'm going to live by his word. I'm going to live by his principles, and you're going to see that light. And from there, hey, whatever happens, happens. I'm one of God's children. So from there, this is happening. Thank you, Lord.
And it's happening so organically.
It is.
That's what I do notice when I'm looking at things. You know, I tell people a lot of times that there are people I know, and I don't stay in touch with them day to day, but I know what's going on through the means that are available to us. You know, and you know, you do post on social media, and they're always such warm-hearted, inspirational and aspirational posts. So I can see why you don't have to market, because people pick up on that energy. And when you then post the photographs or the videos with your clients, and you got the big thing with the key, and they've just had closing, I'm going to tell you, it does so much to enhance the perspective that this is more than just a job for you.
Yeah.
It's a mission.
Yep.
And with a mission, there is also the challenge of staying aligned with how the world has had an impact on that mission.
Yeah.
Real estate is really tough right now.
Yeah.
From whether you're a buyer or a seller.
Yes,
it is. It's really tough. And you're an investor yourself because you flip homes.
Mm-hmm.
So people may come to you and they're a bit nervous because they think, I can't afford it, or it's, I don't have enough money. How am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Speak with me a little bit, Casey, about the process of how you embrace people and educate them about the market expectations and what they can look forward to.
Oh, that's a good question, especially right now, because it's crazy.
Right.
It's wonky.
Right.
I talk to several realtors about it on a daily basis. Like, okay, what are we doing here? How are we going to do this? You know, like you said, I'm an investor too. So I try to think wise, but also having a compassionate heart. So with that, I say real estate, you know, having a place to live in is a necessity, whether you're here or there. You're going to rent somebody else's house. You're paying their mortgage, essentially, you're going to pay your mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how you look at it.
Mm.
Now, the thing about the interest rates being so high right now, it affects how much house they could actually afford.
Right.
Back in the day, I feel like maybe 5-6 years ago, I mean, you know how much your house
was.
That's
right. Mm-hmm.
Listen, that mortgage payment was great.
Mm-hmm.
That mortgage payment now is looking like $2,700, $2,800.
Exactly.
And a lot of people can't afford that when they thought they could a few years ago. So it's affecting how much house you could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I just tell people, like, let's be realistic about our expectations.
Mm-hmm.
One thing about me, I'm super realistic.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give it to you straight. No sugarcoating it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the season we're in.
Mm-hmm.
Can you handle what's going on right
now?
But I do explore with them the options of refinancing in the future. Are you know, what's the purpose of this house?
Right.
Are we to stay here for 5 years? If so, then we know realistically the market will be different then. Let's revisit that. You know, let's do this for a season if this is your need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have had some tough conversations with people and like, I don't know if this is right, you know, the right time for you right now, considering what you have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's ever any roadblocks like finances or down payment assistance, I always have resources that I could tap into and that I could assist them with. I think that what makes me different as well with a lot of realtors that they may not have access to those or know that you could couple those together.
Mm-hmm.
I essentially try to get a lot of my buyers to the closing table with the minimal amounts possible so they can use their funds to fix up their house or you know, get some furniture and whatnot.
Right.
So yeah, it's just really about having some really upfront conversations with my sellers or buyers. I have a lot of people, or agents, I should say, that call me and say, how do I say this to my seller?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very crafty with my words when it comes to them, but I'm very direct as well so they understand.
Right. Gotcha.
So.
Gotcha. You know, the last, and this was before you became a realtor. I mean, I was there during the 2008, 2009 when the whole thing went bonkers.
Went crazy.
And, you know, I remember at that time there was this period where, well, it was a lengthy period where, I mean, not only were we talking about interest rates and whatever, but we were talking about the predatory types of lending and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you match that with certain banking institutions. And then you also, you know, balance that against the fact that everybody was getting like ridiculous money for their property. It was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it just ended up with, of course, the big bubble that exploded. Now, we're not at that point in this time.
Yeah.
How would you describe how we are positioned today? Because you mentioned the higher interest rates.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've been seeing lately, because for a while it seemed that home prices were escalating. But now I'm starting to see when I'm out there looking, this is literally what I do in my downtown.
Let me pull up Zillow.
I'm like, I mean, I've got subscriptions to everything. And I'm like, oh, it went down 5,000. Oh, I literally am watching everything. The house that you sold for me, that's how I got it back in 2014. Because when I initially started looking at it, it was 2014. So it was on the other side of all of that. But people were still getting a pretty good amount of coin for the property.
Yeah.
And they had that house listed when I first began looking at it. It was like 249 or something like that.
Okay.
I told my best friend, I said, the moment this number has a one in front of it, it's mine.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, Casey, on the day that it became 199 and
it's
whatever,
yours.
I was on it. So I'm watching all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing I'm looking at today as people are looking at this, you know, housing prices are starting to fall. And reading the market and sharing information with your clients or potential clients, how do you help them understand what that means to them in a very cogent way. I know you said that you're honest and direct with them, but sometimes it's just so overwhelming because people overcomplicate things in their heads. So they're like, well, you know, this is still, you know, the housing prices are going down, but the interest level is this. How can I still do this? Tell me how you would walk them through that conversation to help them understand that it's better than they think it is.
That's a daily conversation once again that I navigate through. Honestly, with me, I hone on how much they could afford per month. Of course, someone comes to me with a $300,000 pre-approval, but they're like, you know what, we really can't afford to pay above $200,000 per month. Then I'm going to help them tailor and be realistic with that expectation and what they could expect within that price point in the areas that they're given. So it's kind of like I have to kind of be a market expert in all these various places to be able to articulate to them what they can and can't do in today's market. But again, giving them the hope that, hey, with this particular amount, if you could pull from 401k, if you get gifts, maybe we could kind of finagle this price point to get you with a little bit more what you need. So it's really kind of like a, it's like a puzzle, so to speak.
Right.
It's like pulling from, and I suck at analogies and metaphors.
We'll really see about that.
Oh, I really do. But my husband would be proud of me. I made one actually make sense. So just, you know, trying to find the pieces to the puzzle for it to be what it needs to be for them in that particular situation. So I'm always on, I'm always thinking, I'm always creating a solution. One of my past sales this week, she was like, you're like the problem solver. Forget go-getter, you're the problem solver. Because every time there was a problem, I'm immediately thinking about a solution. Anytime my husband brings me a problem with the flip or anything, I'm immediately thinking of a solution. So I don't wallow in the, okay, I don't know what to do, period. I'm immediate, I'm always kind of on to be able to provide some type of solution. Because everything has a solution. So we just need to find what that solution is.
And with that, you know, happening, you know, increasingly now, people I think are slowly ebbing their way back toward feeling comfortable with buying.
Yes and no. So a lot of, to go back to your question or to touch on the home prices at this moment. So when agents, a knowledgeable market expert, would know that when they're doing comps, they're on, the house is only as good as what the area is chimed for. Now, what we see now is that we are pricing these properties to what areas have gone for, but the market and interest rate has shifted. So now that house that was $200,000, it's more, and with my interest rate, I'm more thinking like 195, 190 is going to keep me to where I need to be. So that's why you kind of see that decrease a little bit because it shifted. So it's funny because you know that house that we sold on North, the one I posted about? It was beautiful. I mean, when I tell you like a sense of accomplishment, I was like, we did great. We're going to knock this out the park. So our whole time we were chiming to flip that property and sell it for $200,000. You know, that was at that time we bought it in January. It took a little bit longer to fix. But at that time we were like, okay, this is what I know we get for it in the summer market. Well, we missed the summer market. We miss it by a week. Now, in doing so, the house immediately across the street sold, went up for like $225,000 and it sold for $232,000. Ours was a little bit bigger. Ours had better quality updates. We could not get ours to move at $225,000. So we kept having to go down. And we finally decreased it down to $210,000 and we got a full price offer, but we had to play closing costs because they couldn't afford it. So like, gosh, it was, it, the difference of a week is literally, it's like, it's crazy. And I mean, thankfully we still came out on top, but at the same token, like we missed something where we could have got $20,000
more. And what that means, folks, is that when you have an authentic realtor and they tell you, don't wait,
don't wait because you're missing out.
The market is like shifting like this. And you know, I remember that property because that's, again, I'm watching. And by the way, when are you and hubby going to have an HGTV show? Honestly, I mean, not to digress too much, but I mean, you flip, you design. I mean, I don't see any difference between a lot, and I do watch HGTV. I admit it, guilty. I love that stuff. But you have this skill to do this. So yeah, it's an investment, but it's also a labor of love.
It is.
Because you do enjoy putting the place together.
We do.
So
gosh, you know, if, I mean, if there's a plug out there, we would love, and there has been discussion in the air, you know, here and there, but in the same token, again, if it's part of God's will, then it will happen. If not, then we're okay with what we're doing.
No, you know, because a lot of people that I do know, you know, they ended up with, you know, getting someone to record them when they were doing something and sent in a tape. This studio, by the way, can record things for you. right?
I was literally about to say, listen,
yeah,
I wouldn't mind. So that's been our biggest hurdle, mm-hmm. is people have approaches, and a mm-hmm. lot of people ask us the same question. Mm-hmm. We are a very funny couple behind the scene, mm-hmm. but we're doers. Mm-hmm. Like, and people even ask, like, why aren't you, like, more beefed up on social media? Mm-hmm. Man, those TikTok subs take a lot of time.
Well,
and when
do.
You have 12 clients, it is difficult to sit down. And right. then you have your clients. And mm-hmm. then I always cut off. I have a cutoff time of 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
So I can spend time with my babies.
Right,
you know,
right,
I have three daughters. Right. One mm-hmm. is grown, but I still have two at home. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure I always have some time for
right,
them.
Right.
So I'm very selective with, you know, making sure I put it all out there, because mm-hmm. I would be on social media all day.
It's,
you see how many comments I get on
social media. I do.
Stuff.
I do. And it's a lot of work.
It is a lot
you know,
of work.
And trust me, people say, well, why don't you do more episodes? I'm like, are you kidding?
I mean, just to recruit me, I know it takes a lot of work.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. And here's the thing. Much like you, mm-hmm. I'm hands-on. Mm-hmm. I do everything myself except yep. come to the studio where I fortunately have, you know, all this great support to get it done. Mm-hmm. But in terms of finding guests, you know, outlining things, that's
it's
all me.
It's a lot of work.
And I have a day job.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and I didn't even know that, Charles.
Yep,
see?
I have a day job, and you know, that's the thing about it is that, you know, and I don't say it to be bougie about it, but I'm a mm-hmm. quote PR and marketing executive mm-hmm. for a company, and I work every day. Mm-hmm.
You don't be bougie. That is who you are. That
that's exactly
amazing.
Why I agree with. Thank you very much. I'm totally with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
But the amount of time it takes to do this, if you want to do it right.
Yeah.
Because there's the other element of these things where sometimes people will come and say, hey, we'd like to be a sponsor of this. And I'm like, yeah, but see, then everything that I'm going to do is funneled through whether or not you think it's appropriate.
Yeah.
So I'm not comfortable with that.
Correct.
But I do agree with you about the level of what you're putting out there. Right now, you are the arbiter of what mm-hmm. is appropriate for
yeah.
you and your message. And that's the reason I do think that you do well. Can things blow up more if you do this? Well, yeah. Perhaps, and I've thought about it too,
mm-hmm.
but then what will you be giving up in the
exactly.
process? So I think that that's the thing that is very interesting, because when speaking of, and what's your husband's name again?
James.
James. Well, my brother's name. Okay. So there is this, now you hear people always talking about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you all understand, I think, and this is, correct me if I'm wrong. You all understand that sometimes it's 50-50, sometimes 60-40,
mm-hmm.
sometimes 70-30, mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
You preach, Charles.
Right. And that, I think, is the key to the reason that you all work, not only in terms of having the relationship that you have, which
yeah.
does, again, if I'm just going by what I see, it's a very
yeah.
loving, respectful,
yeah.
Individually admiring each other relationship.
Yes.
But particularly in work, where a lot of people can't get it together,
mm-hmm.
you all have this yin and yang.
Yeah.
How do you, when the chips are up or down, find that sweet spot where you all know how to, you all just work so seamlessly together?
We do. And I get this question quite a
yeah,
bit as well.
Yeah.
Like, how do we work together?
Right.
Can we work together? And I think it's because we respect each other's spaces.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started working together, we remodeled our house completely
mm-hmm.
3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I pointed and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, okay. So we're very, I'm very vocal
mm-hmm.
and upfront, and I will tell you exactly what's on my mind. So I'm not one of those girls who
mm-hmm.
I'm going to reserve what
mm-hmm.
I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've been married 22 years, so he knows mm-hmm. how to receive as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I also
mm-hmm.
know how to speak with him what's the word I'm looking for? Respectful manner,
mm-hmm.
so that we can accomplish what we need to accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't question my design
mm-hmm.
Choices, and I don't question his implementation
mm-hmm.
practices. So
mm-hmm.
it works well because we respect the spaces that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few times I'll say, well, that doesn't make sense to do it that way. And he'll say, let me, the expert in this field,
right,
okay, let
right.
me be quiet.
Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
respectfully, I'm a step
yeah,
on back, and
yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that's what works so well together, and we dream together, we mastermind together.
Mm.
We are each other's biggest supporters.
Mm-hmm.
I'm his biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
But also, if things don't work, I'm quick to say, let's pivot, let's
mm-hmm.
pivot, let's pivot.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people ask,
mm-hmm.
what happened to my staging company, my staging business?
Mm-hmm.
It got busy quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me away from real estate. It took me away from flips. It took me away from my
mm-hmm.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, this is something that's going to have to wait until I'm later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
all the flips that we have, I still stage.
Right.
So I still still have a warehouse of furniture. Mm-hmm. But in the same token, like, I don't need to do everything because mm-hmm. I'm good at everything. Mm-hmm. That wasn't meant to be cocky, but at the same token,
take it as you will.
The Lord blessed me with many skills.
There you go.
You know, so we just work together seamlessly, mm-hmm. and we talk through. We're big on talking through. Being married 22 years, we've gone through a lot of marriage seminars, communication seminars. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, if we ever need couple counseling, mm-hmm. we're not inept to saying, okay, we need somebody to talk to, be that middle mm-hmm. person, because we're not understanding each mm-hmm. other. We're in it for the long haul. Mm-hmm. He's not letting me go. I'm not letting him go. Mm-hmm. I may say, oh, you get on my nerves, but I'm going to circle right back around and say, right. okay, we're here to love each other. We're mm-hmm. here for a reason. Mm-hmm. I had a dream of mm-hmm. the guy I would marry, and it was mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. So on our first date, I literally told him, mm-hmm. you were the person I was going to marry in my dream. I never saw wow. his face. I only saw the neck down and environment. Uh-huh. And he had on exactly what I had on my dream, and we met at Six Flags.
Wow.
Who meets somebody at Six Flags and gets married?
Obviously, you do. and I'm fascinated by that. Mm-hmm. And I'm also giving some, you know, props to James here, because that would have scared the hell out of a lot of guys.
That's what he said.
Right?
Especially at our age. I was 18 and he was 21. Gosh. He's like, okay. No.
But it didn't scare him, obviously.
It didn't. See? But I wanted him to know, because the dream was so mm-hmm. profound and mm-hmm. it was so real. Mm-hmm. And we were with two groups of people who merged together. And I mean, I wasn't going to look cute that day, mm-hmm. but I was just going with my girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And I ended up kind of stalking him, because mm-hmm. I was like, that's the guy from my dream. So I told her, that's the guy I had a dream about him, and I married him. Mm-hmm. And she's like, girl. And mm-hmm. he was not trying to give me any play. I just turned 18. Uh-huh. He was 21. He was mm-hmm. like, okay, little girl. So I was the aggressor. I went up to him.
I love this.
I said, here is my number. Call me. Yeah, wow. I've always been bold.
Oh, and my gosh, I love it.
He called, and on our first date, he drove me around St. Louis, because I'm mm-hmm. originally from Lincoln, Nebraska. Mm-hmm. And once he dropped me off, I said, I don't know where this is going to go, mm-hmm. if this goes anywhere, but I have to let you know, mm-hmm. I had a dream, mm-hmm. and you were the guy I was going to marry. Mm-hmm. A year and a half later, we got married.
Now, see, okay.
I let him go.
Let me say this. Because for all of y'all women out there who are waiting for someone to come and sweep you off your feet.
Yeah, yeah, better be the aggressor.
Did y'all just hear what Casey said?
See it.
She said, go after your man. I know what I want, yep. and I'm going to say it. None of this gamesmanship, mm-hmm. right?
But again, times are different, Charles.
Don't get me started.
Okay.
It's too difficult for me to even put into words what I see. Because you're going to have to do a little bit more than dance your ass on TikTok. Right. Just
what,
saying.
No Mariah Carey?
No. I can't even. It just drives me to distraction. Okay, so I don't want to digress too much. But let me say,
it's a whole marriage podcast.
It's a totally different narrative. And I'm like, if I get on that, you know, we'll have a totally different show. You use your name, and I have a proclivity for this. Mm-hmm. Everything I do is pool proof.
Which I love.
Okay.
Absolutely love. So clever.
Well, back at you. Mm-hmm. Because when I first saw it in print, when you posted something and said Milton Air, mm-hmm. I was like, brilliant.
Oh my gosh. I can't even take that name for myself. So a mm-hmm. good friend of mine, Chiquita Anderson, aka Chi, I was doing a photo shoot with my daughter, and mm-hmm. she said, you guys look like a bunch of Miltonaires.
Awesome.
And I was in the season of trying to search mm-hmm. for a name, and mm-hmm. I said, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, it just dawned on mm-hmm. me. And so I mm-hmm. always give her the credit, because mm-hmm. I said, girl, you came up with a brilliant name on the mm-hmm. cusp of just, I said, you just don't know how that changed.
It's perfect.
And even with the go-getter, the mm-hmm. go-getter realtor came from, oh gosh, what did she? She was a credit repair when I first mm-hmm. was in the business early on. I was working, doing like my first home buying seminar, mm-hmm. and I was working with Credit Law Center. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend them. Sorry, guys. I'm not plugging them. But the lady who was working for them, who doesn't work for them now, she was like, you're like a go-getter. And mm-hmm. I was just like,
there you go.
I am. I've always mm-hmm. been super ambitious. Mm-hmm. I've always been a go-getter, essentially. Mm-hmm. In high school, after high school, like, I went to college and worked two jobs and went and had kids at the mm-hmm. same time. So, mm-hmm. like, I've always been just that motivated, mm-hmm. determined type of person. So, mm-hmm. the name fit. And I was mm-hmm. like, go get a realtor. I like that. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just me. It's mm-hmm. it's nothing. It's organic, like mm-hmm. you said. It was mm-hmm. nothing that was forced.
Right.
It's no, you know, given name. It's just the Go-Getter Realtor.
Yeah.
I'm the Go-Getter. You want to win, get yourself a Go-Getter.
Well, yeah. And the fact that these things came about as a result of how other people saw you, I think speaks volumes.
It does.
Because where people usually are calling people other things, right? But to have people give you positively oriented titles or references because of what they see in you, I think speaks volumes about your character and the nature of who you are. And speaking of that, what I've also noticed about your approach to what you do professionally, and I think that this imparts a great deal of understanding on a humanistic level as well, you have brought other realtors to you and become a mentor and literally celebrate any win that they have. That's, I think, something that a lot of people do, because they are more focused up on output than the input.
Yeah.
But you're focused on teaching them, helping them to understand things, and I would say probably be influenced by the approach that you take. Would you share with me why that's important to you, to bring other people along, particularly younger people, and help them as they are progressing in their career?
Yes. So I'm going to speak to this in two ways. So the first way, I'm going to let you know that I no longer have the team, only solely because, like, you kind of have to determine, like, what's important, what do you want to do? I was giving so much time, energy, effort, which I loved and did it freely, but in the same token, I still have a lot of ambitious goals and things of that nature. However, now I still do talk to people on a weekly basis in the sense of, like, encouraging them, motivating them. I think this younger community that's coming up after me could use someone like me to kind of tell them, you know, what to do, what to wear. You know, this is not the TV. This isn't that real estate. What you see may not be the real estate market here. Like, let's be realistic. So, and again, because I'm so verbal and upfront, I love to be able to be that voice that they just may not hear, you know. I was speaking with someone last week, and I said, I think I want to do a class for as many people call me and ask me, can I get in real estate? You could do it. Anyone could do it.
Right.
It's a great, I mean, honestly, Charles, I really do think you should get your license. Just because you know so much about houses and things of that nature. And for a, I heard someone say this before, and I thought it was so deep, for a $1,500 degree, you could be a millionaire. That's real estate. The knowledge is beyond what you can learn. There's so many different avenues you could go with it. It's something not bad to have in your pocket if you ever needed it. But to that I say, what was the original question, Cheryl?
About the bringing people along and mentoring.
I love doing it, but I'm not doing it a lot right now, but I still talk to quite a few people, just encourage them along the way, or I even kind of direct them to where to go.
Yeah.
A lot of people ask me, should I mentor? I'm just not in that space yet anymore.
Well, I think, you know, mentoring can be formal or informal, and what you're describing is informal thing. Because what people see you do is a form of mentoring. How you do it, a form of mentoring. And, you know, I am not enrolled in any type of, you know, direct formalized mentoring either, but who I am and how I represent myself and how I interact, I think people see. You put content out that shows who you are, and people learn from that. So I think you're doing it. So team or no team, I still think that you're in that space.
Well, because
as you look at this and what you hear me say, as I'm looking at the information you're putting out, I'm learning from it, right? And I'm 61 years old come February, right?
Well, as you tell.
Yeah, no, I ain't.
You look great!
Level 61 is what I call it. But the thing is, that's my point. It doesn't matter what your age is. You can learn something from everybody.
You definitely can.
And the moment you stop believing that you are still in a learning space is the moment you begin to cease to have a real value for yourself. Because you don't understand everyone has something to teach you, even the shitty people. So I'm always looking and seeing what you're putting out there. A number of people who I see what they're doing, and I'm like, wow, that's really, really good. As far as the real estate thing, you have a gift that I don't have, patience. So
I get that a lot.
Yeah, I don't have it. It is not a strong suit of mine. And so
it is a learned skill, though.
It is a learned skill. I don't want to learn it. Because
level 61 said denied.
Well, you know, my mama used to have a saying, which is that I am not here to raise grown folks. Okay? There's a lot of raising grown folks in real estate. And the moment people start moving into the foolishness territory, I disconnect. And I'm like, just take your ass home. I can't help you. And that would be a problem in terms of the profession.
This is true, Sean. This would be a big problem.
Right. So you know they say, know yourself. And I know myself. And, you know, I gravitate toward people who are self-aware. That's the reason that you and I are here. Who don't BS and who enjoy the process of learning who they are becoming. You're still becoming who you are intended to be. Everybody else pretty much works my nerves. So knowing this about myself, I've chosen to not do things where I have got to try to put on a good face because I don't have that capacity. So I get that. Thank you. That's a high compliment. But I'd be a real estate for about as long as I was a waiter once. I was a waiter for like a little over 2 hours. Didn't work well for
me. This is true. We tend to operate in, it sounds like we're very similar personalities. I tend to operate in the things I know that I'm good at. The things that I'm not that great at, I'm just going to, what I like to say, I'd say it's my best friend all the time, I'm going to respectfully decline.
There you go.
And I have no problem saying I am not good in that space. You do not want me there. So let's not be there. And yes, I do. There's a lot of people who will refer very difficult clients to me. I think because of, I don't know, the Lord has blessed me with some type of crazy patience. Everyone has always said this. My last child has tested that and I still remain patient. And I always say, this is what I asked for. So having a child with a mental, like behavioral issue, I asked for children. So I can't be mad with the one with the hand
there
I'm
you
dealt.
Go.
And I like to call people unfavorable personalities. I could work with an unfavorable personality. I just have to try to figure out what best communication style works for them. I major in communication. Like, that's what I do. So I just tend to, okay, we you're a person that's a little bit more anal. I need to speak with you extremely direct. No fluff talk. I'm minimizing my word count with you for the day so you can straight to the point versus someone who needs a little bit more hand holding. I'm going to be a little bit more firm with them. I'm going to hold their hand a little bit more and I'm going to tell them exactly what things, how that needs to go. So I just tailor that communication to how they need to be spoken to, so to speak.
It's a gift.
It is very good. It is a gift.
Yeah, and to be able to do it repeatedly. I can do it for a short period of time, but on and
over
on.
And over.
Oh my gosh, no.
You just like, behind the scenes of like.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because I've worked in corporate America pretty much the vast majority of my career, which I've seen it gone from the highest highs to what it is today, and I won't even try to describe it. But, you know, what I do find I have a capacity for is not to engage the ridiculousness of it all, right? And, you know, a lot of times you'll be in that situation where someone will say, well, Charles, what are you thinking? I'll be like, nothing.
Oh.
Because if I say
what I truly
think, it'll blow your head clean off. So I'm just going to say nothing.
And this is probably why the Lord didn't bless me to work in corporate, because I would have said it. Charles, there's been so many times where people will be like, I'm like, are you sure? Because I can't. And my husband will be like, Casey, I'm just like, I got to let you know. And I'm going to give you that read. You know, in the nonprofit world, I did it. And they're like, do you want to work here? I do, but not at the sake of how I feel. So,
You know, it's a challenge to do, but, you know, after the meeting's over, I usually will go someplace and curse in German or something. You know, it's that whatever it takes to get through the day is kind of my approach to most of it.
But this is how I think of this too, Charles, is we're all people. We're all God's people. Some people put on such a facade, or their personalities are so big, it's that they forget that they're we're the same type of individual.
That's right.
Your credentials are just different than mine. So for you to talk to me any type of way or look down at me or whatever the case may be, I'm sorry, I just, you know, God is no respecter of persons. So I'm not going to be like, oh, okay, you're a millionaire. I mix and mingle with millionaires all the time. They're all not jerks. So I'm just going to talk to you just as I talk to anybody else.
This is the thing that I think is important, and I'm going to make a movie reference here for the youngins particularly. Do you remember the movie of What's Love Got to Do with It? Where there was a scene in the restaurant where, you know, Ike slapped Tina with the cake and pushed it in the face. And then, you know, he went off on one of the singers, the background singers. And that background singer said to him, oh, you only have to do this to me once. That's my approach to mm-hmm. all such things.
Yep.
You get one chance to get away with that stuff.
Yep.
But you will never get a second chance. So that's the idea that I have when it comes to most people. When you talked at the beginning of our session here about value, mm-hmm. I value myself enough to know what I choose to put up with
yes.
and what I won't put up with.
Yeah.
I value myself enough to know what I don't know and I'm willing to learn. But I also value the fact that I am a person who is perfectly imperfect myself.
Yes.
That I can embrace other people who are willing and open to learning how they can be better human beings.
Yeah.
But I am in no way responsible for trying to embrace people who not only are raging, ridiculous, I'll call them anal personalities.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to allow them to convince me that I even need to give a thought to whatever it is that's behind whatever they are.
Yep.
And that frees you to a great extent.
It does.
Right? Because you are able to, I don't get angry.
Yep.
Because I think whatever you say has nothing to do with me.
Doesn't affect me at all.
Right? Whatever you are trying to do, I'm not going to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And here's the real cap, Casey, is that I say this and it blows people's minds. I don't worry. I don't worry about anything, right?
I am the same.
Right? I don't worry because it's here on my arm, actually. This is from Joan of Arc.
Oh, I love.
I am not afraid. I was born to do this.
Boom.
Right?
You were born to do this.
Yeah.
So and when you know, you know.
When you know, you know. Mm-hmm. And so before we get too sermonistic here.
Preach,
and we've
Cheryl.
Got time that we get going here.
Pool-proof wisdom.
Well, we try. Milton there. back to the real estate world. I want to talk about what's coming for you as you look ahead to the markets, both in Missouri and Illinois. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember when you got that designation, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's been working it, y'all.
I'm trying. Just try to refer.
Well,
$500,000-$600,000. I'm like, oh, man, I could. And I'm, you know,
right.
I know Edwardsville. I know right. Belleville. I know Fairview mm-hmm. Heights and all mm-hmm. those different places.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's.
Don't limit your vision.
Yeah.
Extend your scope.
That part.
Right.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Okay. There you go. You can have it for free.
Okay.
It literally just came out of my head. So you can have it for free. It's not trademarked.
Great. Make sure that's recorded so I can write that down.
You'll
really
get the video.
Like
you can refer
I
to
love it.
It. But as you look at the markets, you know, I mean, I watch everywhere because I've lived a lot of places. So I'm always
yeah.
looking wherever I'm looking. And, you know, what can we, in your estimation, and y'all listen up to this because she knows what she's talking about.
Yeah.
What can, you know, we're, what is this, October, almost at the end of the year, a lot of the pressures and challenges that are going on, you know, I read that there were people in the Fed who said that they didn't see interest rates starting to lessen until 2025. What are the tea leaves reading for you at this point in terms of what we can expect in the real estate market? Let's say in a year, next year and a half. Yeah, right. She's like, why don't you just ask me to go ahead and build money out of straw?
So it's funny because like a good friend of mine, and he does, gosh, I mean, I do maybe a 10 million. He does 30 million.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had a discussion about this. And, you know, on the panel that was asked to us, mm-hmm. one thing realtors can't do is interpret control the market.
Mm-hmm.
We can interpret where we are right now. But I'm no Eamon. Mm-hmm. I'm no Forbes. Mm-hmm. I'm not really reading. I don't even really look
That's
at those
fair.
Particular items.
Yeah.
What
mm-hmm.
I do is I hustle
mm-hmm.
because I know that people need housing
mm-hmm.
and whatever that is, we just have to tailor what that looks like for them in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's what keeps me alive. You know, in 2020, when did COVID happen? 2020?
2020, 22, 1, 22.
Yeah,
a little bit of 22.
It's currently now. Right.
Yeah, back again.
Back again, spikes mm-hmm. are up. You know, when that happened, that was probably my largest year. And a lot of that mm-hmm. was some people's
right
more decreased year because
mm-hmm.
they did no business. Well,
mm-hmm.
I had all of this business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in the same token, I think it was because I focused on your need
mm-hmm.
and how we can make this work. If we continue to look at all of the obstacles in this world,
mm-hmm.
we're going to be hindered or not move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see all those GIFs and those memes. I'm going to wait till the market stays.
Right.
You know, those
right.
are the people looking
mm-hmm.
at all of this stuff
mm-hmm.
and getting discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? Those are the also individuals that's like, oh, crap, it's 8% now. I was trying
mm-hmm.
to wait till it got down to
mm-hmm.
3.
Mm-hmm.
We can't control what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it changes in the next month or the
mm-hmm.
next 2 years,
mm-hmm.
you're still going to have to move.
Mm-hmm.
you're still going to have a house to move, you know, sell, or you're still, you know, you need to get out this situation, or you're tired of renting. I deal with someone, she rented for 17 years. She gave them over $50,000. Mm-hmm. She's paid that property off several times over. I says, no matter what you're paying now, it will be way better than giving them another 50,000 because you're going to get stuck. You know, if this is a dream, this is obtainable. My biggest thing is showing people that homeownership is attainable. If my 20-year-old daughter can do it, I can do it. We bought our first house when I was 24 and it was one of those, like, I know I can do it. All of my friends around me were doing it, and it was a beautiful thing, you know? So I don't really kind of see whatever this market is doing, I'm going to make it do what it do.
You know, it's interesting. And I've got to be sure I ask this the right way, but it's interesting to me. I was listening to Barbara Corcoran, who's on Shark Tank, and of course she started off as a real estate person, and and I think she sold her company. But, you know, she was saying that everybody's going on about the interest rates and how high they are, blah, 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 blah. And she says, well, these aren't really that high. She says, they're higher than when you're used to. You know, she says, but these are kind of average rates for the most part. So her advice was, get over that.
Get over it.
You know, make your investment. And I understand that, you know, people get a little bit worn down by these things. But at the same time, I understand that people need to feel like there's something more to it for them. Home ownership versus just renting, which is a place to live, is about where you build your life. Right? So as we get ready to wrap up here, I wanted to ask you how you define what the benefits of having a home are versus having just a place to live.
Oh, that's a good question. Benefits of having a home. You have something to call your own. You have something to leave to your children. You have something where you can feel the most sense of accomplishment. You know, that post I made the other day where I said, one of the best feelings in the world is closing on your property because that says that I did it. I did something that's going to affect the trajectory of my life and something where once paid off, I could give to my family. You know, I'm at a place now where a lot of the people I deal with, they've gotten an inherited property. And that property is $300,000-$400,000 where Nana and them bought it for $30,000.
That's right.
I want people to feel the sense of that homeownership again. I think we as a world have gotten so out of touch of the, you know, live in this loft or just do all these different things. But homeownership is still as important. To own a piece of land is still as important. This is something you could call your own. And so when I hear of landlords not allowing people to put stuff on walls, I'm like, but if you could afford to do it, go control your own walls. Go control your own four houses. Provide that place for your family to be in. Like in the position we're in, we're thinking about moving and we have a substantial amount of equity in our property. I'm like, you know what? If I want to just give my daughter a break, I would just let her buy this house. That's something where I'm helping change my community. And that's something that is going to benefit me either way that I look at it. So home ownership can be for everyone. Now, are there certain factors that people, you know, don't want to control? Like how, like mowing lawn. That's, I don't know why that's the biggest thing. You know, oh, this is going to break. Things break. A landlord or slumlord, they're going to figure it out. We're going to figure it out. So I'm actually now working on, and I've reached out to a few people about the after once you buy that property, some of the things you need to do or look for, because there's no educational piece on that. I'm huge on education. As you know, I do a lot of home buying seminars. So I want people to know, okay, now that you got the house, now what? What are we going to do? What do you need to do? What resources are available to you? What if this breaks? Because in our community, if it breaks, then that's going to, you know, be detrimental to the house down the line.
That's right.
I want to be able to help you sustain your property for years to come. So it's so multi-layered. But in the same token, like, I just feel so hopeful about people purchasing properties. Because it's doable. And you don't have to live underneath somebody else's reign and their world and follow their guidelines.
So just
try it.
Right.
I have so many people I say that to, and I'm like, just try it. And then they do it, and they're like, we didn't know this was an option. If there's no one telling them that's an option.
There you go.
I need to be that person.
You do a good job at it, too.
Thank you.
I've owned 14 homes. In my, you know.
Y'all hear that? He's on 14 homes.
I've moved around a lot.
I'm at six.
Well, you know, you're younger. So there's Plenty of time. But I did want to just reinforce that it's very important to hear what Casey's saying on that front, because, you know, right now I moved back to St. Louis in January. I'm still in the apartment. I'm still waiting to see what happens, because I'm like, I don't know. We'll see. But
you're in the sweet spot. You can.
I can.
It's not a
because I'm waiting.
Exactly.
Right. But there's somebody above me in the apartment building.
Lord of the Rings type of style.
Well, this morning, you know, I get up early. Mm-hmm. It's 4 a.m. They're vacuuming.
Oh, why are they vacuuming at 4 a.m.? Maybe they're nurses. So let's play benefit of the doubt. Like, what do they do?
Well, then they're sick.
Oh.
A sick nurse then. Because I'm like, that there are people below you trying
to sleep.
Now, I was awake because I'm an early person, but typically people would be asleep while you're vacuuming. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at these things in terms of when I find the place.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge I've got is that, yes, I'm waiting, I can. But the other thing is, I don't want as big of the home like
Which was so beautiful, by the way, guys. This was probably one of the most memorable, beautiful houses. And you already know, I walked through there like, should I buy this?
Well, I'll take the compliment. That's not great. But I don't want a house because I clean my own home. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm not doing that anymore.
It's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of house.
That was a lot of house. And I don't ever want to have that much house again. So I'm keeping my eyes open. Don't be surprised.
So yours is just a matter of timing.
It's a matter of timing. Yeah. So we're going to do that. And good people, that's the thing. Having a home and knowing that it's yours, particularly if you've come from nothing, you know, or you have had very little, is terrifically meaningful. Yeah. But if you're going to find yourself someone to give you help with that, find someone who has this type of perspective on not only the function of selling you or buying properties or even investing, but actually wants to help you elevate your experience overall. So Casey,
thank you
for joining us for Pool Proof Wisdom today.
Thank you, Charles. I appreciate the invite, and this has been a great conversation. And just let me know what all any of your real estate needs are.
Well, before you sign off, tell people if they want to, you know, find you, where they can find you.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. The free plug. There you go. I'm on Instagram and Facebook as Casey Milton. Instagram is Casey_TheGoGetterRealtor. And TikTok, I think it's Casually Cute with Casey. So anyway, you have it. You could find me. If not, always DM him and he'll text you my phone number right away.
I sure will. You sure got it. No problem at all. Thanks again.
You're welcome. Thanks, Charles.
Okay, take care.
Yay.
Okay.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Pool Proof Wisdom Podcast. We always enjoy the company. Be sure to listen, like, subscribe, and share using Google and Apple Podcasts, Audible, Spotify, Anchor, Overcast, YouTube, or via RSS, so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, we'd appreciate it very much if you simply tell a friend about the podcast too. Spread the word. Until next time, keep on living.